And as we read here in chapter 21, verse 15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep."
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today again we're going to come to the message in John's Gospel, one of the last, and we're looking at the life-changing interview that was granted to Peter. Peter, the Savior denier. Peter, the coward. How could he ever face men again? How could he ever preach again? And yet in a short time, we read in the book of Acts, there he was, after Pentecost, preaching the gospel. Thousands were converted. What did the Lord do for Peter to get him back on track? Well, in this interview, there was a threefold test. And the Lord has the same test for every one of us. And it is, do we love the Lord Jesus? Do we love him? And that is the first and great criterion upon which we must serve the Lord. And we need to pray for that. We need to ask the Lord to dig our hearts deep and fill us full of his love. Everything else may be gifted, we may have talents, we may have great achievements, but the Lord's test is our love for him. As he tested the church at Laodicea, they were lukewarm, and the Lord said that he demanded their first love, and he demands that of you and me as well. And I hope that today that you will be blessed through this message from the pulpit of our church as we open the Bible at John 21 to let the Bible speak.
We have here an amazing account of the risen Lord Jesus meeting with his disciples. Peter has gone a fishing. He has taken a number of others out in the boat. They have been fishing all night. They caught absolutely nothing. And then they heard a voice of one on the shore saying, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship." And so they did. And as you know, the fish just came pouring into the net, 153 great fish, and to the point where the vessel would almost sink. At that point, it was John, the apostle, who whispered to Peter and said, "It is the Lord." And at that, Peter jumped overboard, put his coat on, splashed his way onto shore, and ran to meet the Savior. But he was in for the interview of his life. Indeed, we could say the interview that changed his life. And as we read here in chapter 21, verse 15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. We'll end our reading right there. This communion table is a call to demonstrate our love for the Lord Jesus. The Christian's love is the right hand of faith. If we are believers, there will automatically be a deep-seated love in our hearts for the name of Jesus. I'm sure you can remember that immediately after you were converted, that name took on a whole new meaning. It took on a sweetness and an attraction that drew your heart to seek after and know the Lord more and more. Christianity is a call to love. It is not a religion of guilt or fear, but it is based on the love of the Lord Jesus stirred within our souls, and that we truly do delight in him. Now, in this chapter and in this incident, Peter's love was under the microscope. And so shall ours as we come to the table, because the Lord would say to us, Lovest thou me? As we take that cup and bread today, that's really the pertinent question. And it is very relevant because we come to a Christian church, we come to worship the Lord God through Christ the Son, and we claim that we are washed in his blood and saved by his grace. Therefore, it is unthinkable that we would take the cup and bread and have hatred in our hearts to the Lord, or that we would have neutrality and just say, oh, take it or leave it. I don't care what you do with Jesus. No, there ought to be in our hearts a deep interest and a loyalty stirred within us that fires up our souls to demonstrate and show, yes, we do want to love and serve the Lord Jesus. Now, to Peter, there was a twist to the question, because the Lord didn't just say, Do you love me? He said, Lovest thou me more than these? The these, I've come to understand, is the other disciples. And this dug right deep into the situation where Peter, before the Lord's death on the cross, had boasted and said that if others deny thee, I will never. If others refuse to die for you, I will. But of course, we know how that fell flat. And all of Peter's boastings on that night when fear, the fear of a little maiden, swished through his heart, and he denied the Lord. And every time that cock crowed, the arrow of guilt shot through Peter till he was greatly reduced to tears. And so it really is a marvel of grace that Peter is here at all with these other disciples and the Lord is interviewing him. I think many, if they had denied the Lord as Peter did, they would want to find the deepest hole and fall into it in shame and disgrace. I know that Peter went a fishing, and a man's got to eat, and that was his whole way of life, and some might suggest that he had given up on discipleship for Jesus and gone back to the old life. But he was there, and when the Lord appeared, he was the first out of the boat. He was a man who, when he heard it was Jesus, it stirred something within him. And it wasn't just cowing down and, well, I'll hide under the net here till this is over. No, he wanted to go to the Lord, and he wanted to face up to all that he needed, and he did. And so this question, this interview of the Lord, when he said to Peter, Lovest thou me more than these, addressed his own sin and his own failure. He had boasted, and he had fallen. He had fallen into pride, and now he was really Peter the denier. What a terrible label to be stuck with. And of course, what were the other disciples thinking? I'm sure there was their inner thoughts and saying, I really want to see what the Lord's going to do with Peter now. And is he going to get the big stick out and beat him up? Is he going to trash him with cruel, hot words and leave Peter smarting forever? How is this going to play out? And so when the Lord appeared and called Peter, well, the Lord really had a heart-to-heart with him. And while the question was a very painful one, it really was to burst the heinous abscess that was festering in Peter's heart, that he might be relieved from the shame and the guilt of it all. There is no doubt that Peter loved the Lord Jesus, and Jesus knew it. He didn't say to Peter, "Do you love me at all?" No. "But do you love me more than these?" And that was the big question. And you know, this is why we love Peter. This is why to every Bible reader and every earnest Christian, Peter is our hero. Because we see ourselves in the mirror with Peter. We see the times when our own cowardice needs to be dealt with. And our own impetuosity, times we're bursting with zeal and other times we're falling flat. And of course, who here today has not shut off their big mouth and said things that they never lived up to? And we boast, but sadly, we fail. Of all the apostles, when we read about Peter, he brings cheer and hope because the Lord dealt with him very graciously and the Lord obviously restored him to service. Now, you'll notice that the Lord was dealing with Peter publicly in front of the other disciples because they needed to be witnesses to this pastoral treatment of Peter who was hurting. And they needed to witness his restoration. And so the Lord got started and he lovingly, graciously dealt with Peter. Now that strikes home to us today on this communion table. The Lord would challenge us about our love for him. That really has to come to the fore. Who would dare make a profession of some form of discipleship or allegiance to the Lord Jesus, taking the cup and bread, but in your heart there is nothing but emptiness, foolishness, or even hatred of Jesus, the Son of God? We know that the worldly man hates Christ. We know that by nature we too once did even take the Lord's name in vain. We had ugly thoughts about him, and we are guilty of denying him. But now that we are believers, now that we come to communion, the issue is, do we now love the Lord Jesus? I notice here, firstly, the Lord recognizes true love for him. That's something the Lord does right away. There's an interesting conversation going on here between the Lord and Peter. And it's not, "Peter, what works have you done? What's your heritage? Who's your mom and dad? What nationality are you?" No, it's about what's in your heart. Do you love me? Lovest thou me? And three times the Lord pressed this issue on Peter. You'll see it there in verse 15. Verse 16, and again in verse 17. And each time Peter responded with this statement, "Thou knowest." Oh, Peter knew the Lord well enough that the Lord was asking a rhetorical question, a question he knew all the answer to. And Peter, after his prior boasting and his failure, was now not going to brag again. He was not going to shoot off his mouth and say, "Oh, yes, Lord." But he allowed the Lord to search the heart He allowed the Lord to really come up with the answer. And this was indeed a very proper answer, thou knowest. The Lord knows our hearts, of course, because of his omniscient eye. Being God in the flesh, he knows all things. That really was the final answer of Peter. Thou knowest all things. And so as we prepare our hearts now to come to communion in a few moments' time, we can be absolutely sure that the all-seeing eye of the Lord looks right into our hearts, and he knows what's in there, and he knows the stirring and the issues that are going on in us, and he can determine whether there is any love for him. When you're married for a time, you know your spouse. A husband and wife know each other thinking. You know how they're going to respond to something, you know their attitudes, you know their facial expressions, and you know exactly what the answer would be to a certain question. Now that comes with familiarity, that comes with friendship and companionship, but just think of how the Lord knows us. If you can't deceive your wife or if you can't deceive your husband over the littlest thing, there's no way you're going to fool the Lord. He knows your heart. And as you take that cup and bread today, he knows exactly what's inside. And he knows the truth if you do love the Lord Jesus or not. Now, the Lord also recognizes by our actions. By their fruit ye shall know them, the Lord Jesus taught us. Now, it's true that Peter had gone fishing, and there was something in that that perhaps was off track and off course, and the Lord had to intervene on that early morning and get them back into fellowship and back into service again. And I've already told the story of how they wasted it. Every hour was wasted. And there's a great lesson there for us. I could preach a sermon on it, that every hour without the Lord is wasted. And whatever you're doing without the Lord in your life, they will be wasted hours, days, or years. But when the Lord speaks and says, put your net on the right side of the ship and you're following his command, oh, the Lord can demonstrate his power and blessing in a marvelous way. And so in Peter's actions, this was a very pertinent question. Lovest thou me? And then, of course, by our obedience. We'll not take time now, but you read sometime John 15, and it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so the Lord can tell by what we've been doing, even in the last month since our last communion, how we've lived, whether we love him or love the world. And that's the great test. It's not our short lip service on a communion Sunday. It is our constant walk, the denials that we place upon ourselves that we may guard the name of Jesus, the time we give to worship him, the time in his word, the time on our knees, the time in the house of God, our seat filled or empty in God's house, all of those things tell the Lord, lovest thou me? Now, Peter is no role model. We can't say, go and do what Peter did. No, we can't do that. But we take hope of how the Lord dealt with Peter. We as gospel people know that we're justified by faith alone. And I always preach, and I hope I will always preach, we are not justified by works, but by faith alone. I had a lady from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and she calls me a number of times, but she called me again this week. It seems every time I preach on radio anything about the Ten Commandments, she's on to me. And she was saying, you know, we've got to keep the Saturday Sabbath. That's one of the commandments. And if we don't keep the commandments, then we have the mark of the beast upon us. And I have before dealt with the whole issue of why we worship on the resurrection day, the first day of the week. Sunday is the typical day the New Testament disciples worshiped in the book of Acts and in the epistles. They met on the first day of the week. Jesus appeared on the first day of the week over and over. But the point I wanted to make to this lady was, you are not saved by works at all. You're saved by faith alone. But could I get her to say those words, faith alone? She would say she's justified. She would say she's justified by faith, but she would not say alone. And I said, there, you are just like Roman Catholics who take the exact same position. They speak of Christ, they speak of his sacrifice, they speak of faith, but they will not say that they are justified by faith alone. Now, once you are justified, you will want to work, because it's a living faith, and it's a faith that goes to work. But we're not working to be justified. We desire to work and honor the Lord because he has already declared us righteous by the pardoning power of his blood. And here is Peter. And he's saying, Peter, what are you doing that shows your love for me? And he knows by
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you have been strengthened, helped, and stirred through this message of Peter's love for the Lord Jesus. It was greatly tested, and so will yours. And this is the great issue. It's not about what champions and gifts and abilities we have, but rather it is the depth of love that is within our hearts. Hudson Taylor was examining some young people who had volunteered for the mission field. He wanted to ascertain their qualifications for the arduous life toward which they were looking. "And why do you wish to go to be a foreign missionary?" he asked one. "I want to go because Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," was the reply. Another said, "I want to go because millions are perishing without Christ, not having even heard of the one name whereby the lost may be saved." Others gave various answers. Then Hudson Taylor said, "All of these motives, however, howsoever good, will fail you in times of testings, trials, tribulations, and possibly death. There is but one motive which will sustain you in trial and testing, namely, for the love of Christ constraineth us." And that's Paul's words in 2 Corinthians Chapter 5, verse 14. The love of Christ constrains us. And that's what makes us a happy, serving, humble servant of the Lord in all various situations. Sometimes in this world we are not appreciated for what we do. Sometimes we are looked upon as doing something very miserable. But in the eyes of the Lord, He reads our works as a love gift. I have come to think of my service for the Lord as that of the little kindergarten child running home with the first drawing of his artwork from school. And he runs in the door and says, "Mom, Dad, here is something I did for you today." And the mom and dad look at this page with messy paint and no real outline, but dabs of color here and there. And the mom and dad say, "Son, what is it?" And he might say, "Well, I did this for you." And they just melt and are so appreciative of that love gift that the little child brought home, his effort with his mom and dad in mind. And when we serve the Lord, we are to do it with the Lord Jesus in mind, and to do it for His sake and for His glory. And then it shall be accepted. And so I trust that you will do that each and every day. Let your heart be overflowing with the very love of the Lord Jesus. Will you unite in prayer with me now? Just ask the Lord to fill your heart, burning afresh with His love. Gracious Lord, we thank Thee for Your mercies and goodness, and we thank Thee for this gospel that changes our hearts and satisfies our hearts. And I pray today for that heartburn which the men on the road to Emmaus had, that their hearts were burning within them while the Lord Jesus talked with them along the way. And I pray, dear Lord, that You will receive of our service out of love, not because our works are perfect, but because Thou hast given us this wonderful love within our souls. We thank Thee and ask Thee to bless us more and more, that we may live more and more for Your glory. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.